This morning, I'm going to be sharing with you from the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, we find the man Moses. And the title of this little message is A Journey on the Wings of Eagles. And this was born out of a quiet time that I had just a couple of months ago. And it's been amazing to me. I think I have shared this message probably already about 5 times. And the blessing that it has been in my own life, I feel that in these months that God has truly carried me on the wings of eagles. And part of it has been the result of just meditating on these verses and this message and then sharing it. What a blessing it has been in my life. And I hope that it will be a blessing for you all this morning. Now, in the book of Exodus, we find the man Moses. And this man, Moses, finds himself in the very presence of Almighty God. And he's out in the wilderness, and he sees a bush burning, but yet it's not consumed. And he hears the voice of God, and he is given this incredible assignment that God has a plan for his life. And God is inviting him to be a part of God's plan for his people. And God says to Moses in chapter 3 that he's heard the cry of the sons of Israel. And I know that most of you are probably familiar with this story. And he says, I have seen the oppression. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, Moses listens to this incredible assignment really out of the blue. And Moses responds to God by asking God 4 questions. And that's what we are going to talk about this morning, the 4 questions that Moses asked. And the first one is such a perfectly logical question. Moses says to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Now, as we read in the book of Moses, the book of Exodus, in the first few chapters, we realize that this is such a perfect question, because Moses was a baby born condemned to death. All the male Hebrew children were born under a proclamation of condemnation. He was hidden by his mother, who was without hope, trying to save her child from this dictator. He was placed in a basket. And then he was rescued and raised by an enemy, the daughter of Pharaoh. As a young man, he was rejected and run out of town by his own people. And in chapter 3, we find Moses living in obscurity. He's in a foreign land. He's tending the sheep of another man out in the wilderness. He's married and he's had a son, and he's given that son, that firstborn, a name which means a stranger there. He is very aware that he is a stranger, that he is a foreigner, that he is alone, he is separated from his people, and he is lost to his former life. And so when God appears to him and says, you will go and deliver my people, his first question is, who am I, Lord, that I would go and do this task? Well, God's answer is so simple and yet so profound. God says to Moses, certainly, I will be with you. I give to you the gift of my presence. And my presence in your life changes everything. You are the one whom I have chosen. And my presence is what changes everything. My presence in your life conquers your fear, your pain, your uncertainty about who you are. My presence in your life enables you to be the person I truly created you to be. My presence in your life enables you to do the work that I created you to do. And then God gives him a beautiful promise. He says, Moses, when you have delivered my people, this is my promise. You will one day stand back here at this mountain where you're standing now, and you will worship me. Well, like Moses, I too have asked, who am I, Lord? Had any of you ever asked that question? Who am I, Lord? What am I doing? Where am I going? Who am I? I too was born under a proclamation of condemnation, and I'm so aware of the weakness and the sin in my life. We were all born under that condemnation of sin. I'm often filled with fear and uncertainty. I'm aware of my weaknesses and aware of my failures. But God's answer when I ask the question, who am I, is the same. His answer is filled with hope and with life. He says, my presence in your life changes everything. You are mine. I don't know if any of you enjoy the translation, The Message, if you've read from the Bible called The Message. But it's a paraphrase in everyday English. It's a lot of fun to read. It's pretty current. And in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to share this passage with you and personalize it for us. It says, long before God laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, you and me in mind. He had settled on me as the focus of his love. Can you imagine that you were the focus of God's love before he laid down earth's foundations? To be made whole and holy by his love. This is God's will for us. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt me into his family through Jesus Christ. And then moving down a few paragraphs, it says that it is in Christ that I find out who I am and what I am living for. Isn't that beautiful? What a precious promise from God. It is God's presence in my life that changes everything. He enables me to be who he created me to be. He enables me to do the work that he created me to do. He conquers my fear, my pain, my uncertainty, my loneliness, my lostness. It is God's presence in my life that changes everything. And isn't that what Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well? The same promise that God made to Moses, you will come back here and worship. When Jesus talked in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, she began to say, well, you know, we know our father Jacob, and we go to this well, and what well do you go to? And we worship here, and the Jews worship there. And it's kind of like, well, what church do you go to? And, you know, what system do you follow? And Jesus said, the Father is seeking true worshipers, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And what God sought in Moses was, yes, a man to be his messenger, a man to be a deliverer with God, but also to ultimately be a worshiper of God. Well, the second question that Moses asked is a great question. Moses is listening to all of this, and Moses is just trying to imagine this in his mind, trying to picture himself, you know, riding his donkey to Egypt and showing up and, you know, wow, what am I going to say? And so Moses, his second question, he says, now, okay, God, I'm going to go to the sons of Israel, and I'm going to say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now, what if they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? Who do I tell them sent me? Because you know what? I'm not even sure I really know who you are. How do I explain who sent me? God's answer again is so simple and profound. I am who I am. Tell them, I am has sent me. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now the people would recognize the names of their ancestors, and they would remember the stories of their faith and their encounters with the great I Am. But you know what? The God that these people were getting ready to come to know was beyond all imagination. God had never to this point revealed himself the way he was getting ready to reveal himself to these people. The God of all creation, who rules over all of nature, he calls upon the hail, the locusts, the frogs, the gnats. He turns water into blood and rods into snakes. He holds the secret of life and the power of death over all creatures. He commands the great waters, and they part in his presence. He uses clouds to guide and to shield. He causes bread and meat to fall out of heaven, and water flows from rocks in the desert at his command. He is the God of all creation, the great I Am, who sees and loves and hears and cares. Moses would talk to him one day face to face, and the face of Moses would shine such that the people couldn't bear to look directly at his face because he had been in the presence of the great I Am. And the great I Am would say to his people in Exodus chapter 19, after they had gone through this incredible experience of deliverance, I bore you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself, and you shall be a people for my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And danger provided an opportunity to see the protection of Almighty God. And hunger and thirst provided an opportunity to see the provision of Almighty God. And the promised land was magnificent, but the journey to the land was mind-blowing. The journey would equip and enable them to enjoy the final destination. Because when they would get there, they would be different. They would be changed because they had spent this time getting to know the God of the universe. And you know, this is true of our journey as well. Each of us is on a journey designed by Almighty God to enable us to fully rejoice and enjoy the presence of God one day. Because, as Paul says in Philippians, I have come to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And our journey may be filled with danger, but we will see God's power as we walk with him to deliver us. And our journey may be filled with need. There may be times of need, but we will see God's power to provide for us. In this journey of life, for some of us, it's been a fairly smooth journey so far. For some of you, it's already been a very painful and very difficult journey. In Deuteronomy, when Moses talks with the people, you know how he describes the wilderness? A great and terrible place. It was not an easy journey. And yet as they came through that, it was designed so that they could come to know God and see His power. And that's what our journey is designed for as well. To know Him and to know the power of His resurrection. To conquer sin in my life. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That I might walk on this journey and look like Him. Freed from the power of sin. Freed to walk in the newness of life as a brand new creation. To know the power of His resurrection and to know the fellowship of His sufferings. How beautiful it is that we have a Redeemer, that we have a God and a Savior who has walked this earth. You know, I don't know that I ever appreciated deeply the humanity of Jesus Christ until I found myself with a young child. Abigail was less than 2 years old and in a body cast for 6 months. She had a series of three body casts. And in that second body cast, she went into depression. Now, if any of you are studying psychology or, you know, clinical this or clinical that, I know absolutely nothing. But I do know the signs of depression. And this little 17-month-old child had all those signs. And I sat at my desk that one morning and I wept. And I wept. And I cried out to God. I am watching my child, my firstborn, suffer and go through this. Lord, it is so painful. Do you understand? And the voice of God's Spirit just quietly spoke in my mind, my heart. And God said, I watched my son at the cross, Pat, my firstborn son. I watched him suffer and die for you. I do understand how it feels to hurt for your child. And I realized that I was just barely tasting the pain that the Father felt at the cross. I had never been with the Father at the cross. You know, when I've meditated and pictured the cross, I was always at the foot of the cross looking up at Jesus. And suddenly I was with the Father at the cross. And for the first time, I felt just a fraction of His pain, and I knew that He understood mine. Thank you, God, that you suffered here. That you know the pain that I walk through. You're not separated and off in this wonderful heaven with no understanding of what it's like to be on this journey. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing. So that is our second question. Who are you, God? What a privilege to ask that question. And hold on for a journey on the wings of eagles to learn the answer, to get to know Him. Well, the third question, again, I love Moses because he's just trying to picture himself doing this. And so he asked God, he says in chapter 4, what if they won't believe me? What a perfect question. Moses is so great. He says, or listen to what I say, for they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. You know, I can't imagine, God, that these people are going to listen to me when I tell them this. Well, God's answer to Moses is this. They will not believe because of your words, but by my power. Through your life. These are my people, and their faith rests on my power and not yours. They will believe my power flowing through you. Now, for Moses, what this meant is God said, Moses, take your staff and throw it on the ground. And it became a serpent, his rod. And then he took his hand that was well, and he put it in his coat, and he pulled it out, and it was leprous. And he put it back in, and he pulled it out, and it was well. That was the second sign, miraculous power. And then the third sign, well, if they don't believe those, go and get some water from the Nile and turn the water into blood and then turn it back into water. God gave Moses miraculous power in a mortal man as a sign to the people. Now, in our lives, Jesus Christ has called us, just like Moses, to be a part of his plan for deliverance in the lives of those who are lost, and then to be involved in ministry to those who are a part of his family. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You know that verse? I love that verse because it says that we are created for good works which God designed beforehand that we should walk in them. So on this journey, the works have been designed for me, and they're perfect for me, and I'm perfect for them. And it's the same in your life. God has chosen special works for you to do. And as you walk on this journey, wherever you go, the people that God brings into your life are a part of these works. I love in Psalm 139 when it says, all my days were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. You know, Moses didn't have Psalm 139, did he? He had a lot of learning to do. He didn't have that benefit. But you know, how often do I ask, Lord, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me when I try to talk to people? What if I fail? What if I just totally blow it? And I do something stupid, and I say something ridiculous. Maybe I say the wrong thing. God, what will happen? What if I'm rejected by people that I try to reach out to? God's answer is the same. They will believe not based on your words, but on my power. Their faith rests on my power and not on yours. You go and you be faithful. Be my messenger of hope and life. And you leave the results to me, because their faith rests on my power and it's not on you. And they will see my power through the gifts that I have given to you. Every one of us in this room has spiritual gifts that God has given to us. And maybe you're young in the Lord and you haven't discovered them yet. But you will as you walk with Him. And God, and people will see God's power through your spiritual gifts. They will see my power as the Holy Spirit works through your strengths. Well, I like that. And your weaknesses. I don't like that so much, when people see my weaknesses. But how many non-believers have been drawn to Jesus Christ? This is the story of my life. Through my weaknesses. When I embrace them, let them close enough so that they see a person who fails, a person who needs the help of God, a person who blows it and has to say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And they know there's something different there. They see a person growing and changing, and they see a power there that they might not understand, but they will as they get closer and closer to you. They will see the reality of God's love as you love them. Miraculous power in my mortal life. Now, if I had a rod and I threw it down and it turned into a snake, you'd be pretty impressed. And if I could change my hand from this, if I could get rid of this dry skin, I wouldn't have this green aloe vera lotion on my hand. And, you know, show you that I could make it well, and you'd be pretty awed. But you know what? The miraculous power to forgive Isn't it just as amazing? We live in a world that refuses to forgive. How many families are torn apart with bitterness and anger? Just recently, I was talking with a woman who shared with me that she was with her family at a funeral not long ago. And they were all there together. There are four of them, two brothers and two sisters. And someone wanted to take a picture of their family. And the oldest brother refused to sit on the couch with one of his sisters because he cannot forgive what happened, a mistake that she made 25 years ago. Torn apart by bitterness and unforgiveness, it is a miracle to forgive. I know two women who were raised under a very abusive and neglectful father. And as I listen to their stories, I am amazed at the parallels. How their mothers were humiliated and mistreated by their fathers. And the stories are so similar. And yet one of them is filled with bitterness and anger. It's like this river, this deep river that flows through her soul. And it is destroying her marriage, her children, and every relationship in her life, not to mention her own soul. And you see it in the discontent. You see it in her health. It is a bitterness that runs so deep and restored. And there is a fountain of forgiveness and grace that flows out of her life and into her world. This is a miracle. This is God's power working in our lives. And maybe you've never been hurt that deeply. But you know, if your journey is long enough on this earth, chances are you will be. But God's grace is there to flow miraculously into your soul. God's miraculous power, the power to rejoice when there is no joy in a situation. The power to trust when the world would say that you are without hope. And the incredible struggles in our society with depression and suicide. Because there is no hope. And the power to love. These are miraculous powers. I think they are just as awesome as throwing a rod down and having it turn into a snake. And God's power is just as powerful to change the human heart. Their faith rests upon my power. As you grow, as you walk with me, as I transform your life, I will pour my power out through your life. And you will have the privilege of watching others change and be drawn to the love of the great I am. Well, the fourth question. This is the greatest question of all. This is so great. I just love it. Basically, what Moses says to God, who else could do this job? Lord, you have got the wrong guy. There's got to be someone else. Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord. I can just hear him. You know, I can just hear my 11-year-old son. Please, Mom, don't kill me for this. I just got a detention for being involved in a fight at school. Please. Please, Lord. I have never been eloquent. You know what, God? There's some things about me that you don't know. I've never been eloquent. Neither recently out here in this wilderness with these sheep, nor in time past. I got run out of town because I wasn't so eloquent a long, long time ago. Nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. In other words, since we've been talking here, nothing else has changed. I am slow of speech, and I am slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, Who made man's mouth? Again, poor Moses didn't have Psalm 139 to know that he had been formed in his mother's womb, that God has seen his unformed substance. Who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? I know everything about you, Moses. Maybe Moses stuttered. I don't know. But God said, I know everything about you. Now go, and I, the great I am, will be with your mouth. If that's what you're worried about, don't worry. And I will teach you what you are to say. And Moses said to God, Please, please, Lord, find someone else. Send the message by whomever thou wilt. There has got to be another man on the face of this earth who could take this message. I am the wrong guy. Well, you know what? This made the Lord angry. And I believe that God was angry at this point with Moses because Moses refused to take his eyes off of himself and look to God. Moses continued to focus on his own inadequacy, to focus on his own problems, to focus on who he was to do this task rather than on who God was. And that is exactly what the writer of Hebrews exhorts us to, the very same thing. He says to us in Hebrews chapter 12, Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Lay aside everything that weighs you down, that holds you back. Let go of those fears. Let go of those anxieties. Let go of pain or hurt or bitterness. Everything that weighs you down. And the sin which so easily entangles us, let me free you from that sin. Let me give you victory. Lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Every one of us is a story that Jesus Christ is writing. He is the author of our faith. It's a story of faith. It's a story of hope. It's a story filled with all kinds of wonderful blessings as well as struggles. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And just as God exhorted Moses, so we are exhorted in Hebrews. Fix your eyes on the Creator. Take your eyes off of yourself and set them on Almighty God. And Jesus, of course, is the one who, the ultimate example of one who took his eyes off of himself, didn't he? And at the cross, he went to the cross to do God's will. Thy will be done, Almighty God. And he knows how to write that story of faith. And he knows how to perfect it as we are on this journey. Now, the journey was not going to be easy. And you know what I love about Moses is that he was so honest with God throughout this journey. As you read the book of Exodus, you see this incredible honesty in the life of Moses and in his relationship with God. And I think this is so important for us, to be honest with God about what we're feeling. He's actually not shocked when we tell him what we're feeling and what's going on inside. During the plagues, Pharaoh was mad at Moses. Now, can you imagine, picture in your mind, the worst dictator on earth, the most evil man you can think of, and we have a few, don't we? It's not hard to do. And if he was mad at you personally, and after you personally, and if that wasn't bad enough, the people were also mad at Moses. The people he'd come to deliver were angry with him. When Pharaoh increased their workload, this is what they said to Moses: "May the Lord look upon you and judge you." "Poor Moses. Look at what you've done to us," they said. "Boy, we just hope fire rains right down out of heaven right now. Maybe the earth will open up and just suck you in. Because look at what you've done to us." And so Moses goes to God and he says, "God, why have you done this? Why have you brought harm on these people? I thought you were in control. And why did you send me? You know, the whole thing has fallen apart. I knew it wouldn't work from the very beginning. And look, look what's happened. And you know, God, the other thing is that you haven't even delivered your people at all." Oh, Moses, he's so honest about what he's feeling. Have you ever been in the middle of something so hard and you've just said, "Lord, I thought you led me here, and the whole thing has fallen apart. Look what's happened. This is not the way I thought it was going to be." God's not shocked. Be honest with God. And then they got out in the wilderness and the people grumbled. "We're hungry." 1 million people were hungry. Now, I know how Moses felt because I had 3 kids. And when they are hungry, let me tell you, all of life stops. It doesn't matter what you are doing. It doesn't matter that you've been in the kitchen for 2 hours trying to get dinner on the table. They are dying, and they expect it right this minute. They are hungry, and Moses had 1 million people who were hungry. Oh, Moses, you and me. And you know what Moses says to God? This is what I say in my kitchen. "I can't bear this burden. What am I supposed to do?" That's what Moses says to God. He says, "What am I supposed to do now? I can't feed these people." Isn't that what the disciples said to Jesus when the 500 were hungry? "What do you expect us to do? We haven't got the money. We haven't got the food. There's not a grocery store close by. And there are 500 people here. What are you thinking?" And word's gotten out that lunch is on. Moses says, "This burden is too heavy for me. I cannot carry this burden." And it wasn't his burden, was it? It was God's. But he cried out in honesty. And then when the people sinned, you know, picture it. Moses has been up on the mountain. He's had these 40 glorious days with God. And he comes down and they have constructed this golden calf and they are worshiping. It sounds like there's a war in the camp. This wild stuff going on. And Moses is so discouraged. And he throws those tablets down. And it feels like it's the end of the world. And God says, "Moses, just step back. And I will wipe them out. And I'll just start over with you. They're so stubborn and their hearts are so hard." And Moses pleads with God for forgiveness for the people. "Please, God, forgive their sin. But if you can't, then just go ahead and wipe me out with them." He says, "Just write my name out of your book. Just erase it. And let's just forget that this whole thing ever happened." Oh, Moses. And then when God said that he would not go up into the land with the people, God said, you know, Moses, I'm going to send my angel to lead the people into the land. But I'm not going to go. You know what Moses said to God? He said, then I don't want to go either. I don't want to go without you, God. Because your presence changes everything. Your presence is everything. And there is no hope. There is no dream. There is no house. There is no land that means more to me than you, than being in the presence of Almighty God, because you are the one who makes a difference in who I am. He said to God, is it not by thy going with us, so that we, I and thy people, may be distinguished from all the other peoples who are upon the face of the earth? Moses, I think you've got it. From chapter 3 to chapter 33, what a different man. He's come to know his great I Am. He has been transformed on this journey. When Moses ends his life, he is a man who understands without a doubt that God's presence is everything. Do you have hopes and dreams and things that you're holding on to that you might need to let go of and say, God, whatever your will is, but what I really want is to follow you. And whatever that means, I don't want any other journey that I design. I want your journey. I want your will. Because your presence changes everything about who I am. Moses was a man who knew the great I Am, the protector, the provider, who sees and loves and cares. And you know, it's when I've walked through those valleys and into that wilderness that I have found that intimate depth. It's there when you're clinging to God for life. Those times may be great and terrible, and yet they are so blessed because God is right in the middle. He's right there, whatever the wilderness, whatever the valley. Moses had come to understand that God is the source of power upon which the faith and the deliverance of every man rests. Yes, Moses was God's messenger and God's instrument, but he couldn't bear the weight of the people. They were God's people. And if you're involved in ministry, if you're reaching out to non-Christians, if you're trying to disciple other women, you can't bear the weight of that all alone. God is the one who will work and transform and give new life in the lives of other people. And Moses had personally experienced the perfect faithfulness and the unchanging love of God, accomplishing his will through a very imperfect messenger. Moses was not a perfect man. He didn't always understand what God was doing. He sometimes disagreed with God. And yet God was faithful and worked through his life, did a magnificent work in him. Moses was like us, just an ordinary clay pot. That's how Paul describes us in 2 Corinthians. He says, we have this treasure, this hope of Jesus Christ in earthen vessels, just clay pots, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. What a blessing to have a God who loves me just as I am, created me for a special purpose, to be his ambassador to be that fragrant aroma of Jesus Christ. The journey may not be easy. That's not a part of the promise. The promise is that it will be on the wings of eagles, because I am His chosen from all the people of the earth to be His own possession. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your word and for the promises of Your word. You are so perfect in Your faithfulness and so perfect in Your love. Thank You, dear God. And I thank You that Moses was able to ask his questions, to be honest with You, that You were faithful and loving to him, and that in the end, despite lingering fear and uncertainty, probably in trembling, Moses took his family, mounted his donkeys, and headed to Egypt. Lord, I pray that we too will obey and follow and enter in to Your love and Your care, so that we might know You and the power of Your resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, because You have promised that through it all, You will bring us safely to Your heavenly kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.